This week's episode of PFW's Chicago Football Podcast brought to you by Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. You can get $3 off your first crate. And the first crate of 2017 is themed Origins. This week, this month, Loot Crate is going to give you a crate featuring historic items from Superman, Captain America, Mario, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Remember, in every crate, you're going to get the monthly t-shirt and pin, in addition to exclusive items from some of those old school favorites. Anytime I see anything Mario related, I get pretty pumped about it. I'm thinking it's probably Super Mario, not Mario Kart so much, but still would be pretty excited to see what would be in this month's Loot Crate. So go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, use that promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. You are going to get $3 off your first crate. It is 2017. The season is over. Let's talk some Bears. Welcome to PFW Chicago Football Podcast. Happy New Year to one and all. I am your host, Kevin Fishbane, coming at you after the 3-13 Bears season has mercifully come to an end. And I'm actually recording this just about 4 hours after we heard from Ryan Pace and John Fox. So much of this podcast will be recapping the end of season press conference from the Chicago Bears general manager, head coach, and chairman and owner, George McCaskey. Of course, I have my producer on hand today, John Solly, the birthday boy. Happy birthday, John Solly.
Thank you very much. 32 is going to be a good year, I think.
32. DeAndre Hall. This is your DeAndre Hall birthday.
I also have the same birthday as Chris Bryant, which my wife reminded everyone on Facebook today by wishing a happy birthday to Chris Bryant for making her year so special.
Well, he's got those sparkling eyes that you cannot compete with, John. So there's only so much you can do. Be sure to follow Bears_Insider on Twitter for all of our coverage. You'll see our story up. Ryan Pace, I'll get into a lot of the stuff he talked about today, but some of the things we won't get into but are on our website, profootballweekly.com/Bears, and tweeted at Bears_Insider, are some of the things he said about Pernell McPhee, Leonard Floyd, Alshon Jeffrey, Jay Cutler, Jonathan Bullard, Deion Bush, Kyle Fuller. He talked about a lot of players. That's what happens when your GM doesn't talk until from training camp until the end of the season. We had a lot to talk to him about, talked for about 40 minutes. So we'll get into that in just a second. A reminder, profootballweekly.com/Bears for all our Bears coverage. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. And, of course, subscribe to the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. It's what you're listening to right now on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and a review. We've gotten some pretty good reviews over the past month. So thank you to our listeners for some of those great reviews. So, briefly, the Bears going to Minnesota on New Year's Day. They got shellacked 38-10. It was kind of interesting that they had played so many close games in November, December, something that John Fox was really hanging his hat on, and then back-to-back blowouts to end the season. And I don't know how much of the effort was not there. Remember, you have a lot of young players who are really playing for new contracts, playing for next year, want to be a part of the team for next year. I just think that this was a tired team, a team just injury-plagued and everything. And then on Monday, January 2nd, we had the open locker room. It's the last one of the season. And I wrote this for our website, profootballweekly.com/Bears. You could also read about it in the Northwest Herald. It was like a sports rehabilitation clinic, John. Like walking around that locker room, Kyle Long's on his scooter, Marquise Wilson's on his scooter, and these are not like Razor scooters that we got in fifth grade. These are like my foot or ankle is broken scooters. You got Dan Trevathan comes through on crutches. We saw Kevin White for the first time since his fibula injury. We talked to Jaronis Grasu for the first time since his torn ACL. Brian Hoyer for the first time since he broke a bone in his forearm. I saw Lamar Houston after his torn ACL walking through. It was a MASH unit, which I thought was kind of the fitting end to this season, to kind of look at a locker room where all we did was talk to guys about their injuries and rallying back from that for next year.
Yeah, it was one of the things that really defined the Bears season, though it's not an excuse, though maybe an excuse because of injuries. that's what I got out of the press conference today, at least.
And that's what we're going to get to right now. I want to play you some clips from today. This is Wednesday, January 4th, press conference from Ryan Pace and John Fox. And I understand Bears fans, and those of us in the media certainly have been frustrated with John Fox at times and the way he talks and the way he describes things. And you're not going to get a whole lot of great stuff from Bears ownership either. I think Bears fans should be pleased with the way Ryan Pace has a measured and focused approach. He is real. He understands what's going on. The only disappointment is that we don't hear from him more throughout the season. But take a listen to how Ryan Pace opened things up at his end-of-season press conference.
You know, we're not going to sit here and hide behind our youth and injuries. We need to evaluate everything, and we need to get better. John and his entire coaching staff deserve a lot of credit for keeping our team focused, tough, and prepared. Looking ahead this offseason, we have an opportunity to improve our team through free agency and the draft. Guys, we got a lot of work to do, and I know that. We're going to take advantage of the position that we're in. We're top five in cap space this year in free agency. With that comes major, major responsibility. We're picking extremely high in every round. We got to take advantage of that. There's been significant change to our roster since we arrived here, only 19 players on the team from the previous regime. The goal is to look for long-term solutions that lead to long-term success. It's not a quick fix building a team the right way to get us on the right track long-term. That means drafting well and developing those players. Our goal is to keep adding young, talented players to this team our fan base can grow with and eventually win Super Bowl championships.
So that was Ryan Pace, part of his opening statement. And I thought it was really important the way he said they're not going to hide from some of this stuff. They're not going to hide behind being young or being hurt. They're going to mention it because it's true. You can't ignore it, but they're very realistic about where this team is at and how far away they are based on the way things went this season. And I thought that he had a very good and powerful and important way to start the press conference and explaining, you know, how he feels about all that stuff that's been going on. Now, the ultimate and immediate question that comes to a general manager when his team goes 3-13, a 3-win drop from the previous year is, well, why did you keep your head coach? Why did you keep John Fox? We'll get into some of the other coaching changes in a minute, but I want to hear what you want to hear Ryan Pace's response to this question from Chicago Tribune's David Haugh about keeping the head coach in capacity there.
Ryan, you look around the league and patience isn't something you find a lot of general managers. Your coach next to you had 23 losses in two seasons. What is the justification of bringing him back, and did you consider changing coaches?
David, I think I get we're all judged on wins and losses. I am, John is, the whole building is. And from day one, I said, you know, I want us to be a tough, smart, disciplined football team. And I definitely think we're heading in that direction. I think some things happened this season that put major stress on the coaching staff, and I get that. But for us to get better long term, I think of a couple different things. It's developing our talent, and it's developing our culture. And I think we're doing both of those things. So I know this season was hard, and I know there's a lot of lack of patience really around the league. But I believe we're heading in the right direction.
So, and I completely agree with that sentiment, John. And I think that I hope folks that understand how this Bears organization works, understand how rebuilding works in the NFL, understand why John Fox should get a third season. And look, I'll be the first one to criticize some of John Fox's clock management, some of the ways he talks to the media, some of his coaching habits. But when you're looking at a team that's rebuilding, that has all these guys that you feel good about, a lot of young players, you want to see what this team can do healthy. You want to see what this team can do in a third year, and completely upheaving your coaching staff can be problematic in the development of some of these players. And I appreciate Ryan Pace's patience going through with keeping John Fox for a third year. On the other hand, I do understand why some fans would be like, you went 30-13. It's the worst season in the history of the franchise since the 16-game schedule came on. Why are no big changes?
So, Kevin, I guess here's my issue with some of this stuff today is that, you know, number one, the Bears don't want to pay three coaches. They're still paying Mark Trestman, correct? They don't.
They should be done with Mark Trestman's payment.
Okay, so they should be done. All right, so I guess that's wrong then. But today was really the first day, I felt like, where you heard from Bears top brass admitting that when they came on, this was a rebuild. I felt like when Ryan Pace and John Fox were hired 2 years ago, and when we went through the same process last year, they didn't really admit that this was a rebuild, even though you and I both know that, you know, Phil Emery really left this franchise with nothing, and it is a complete and total rebuild, but they didn't characterize it like that. And now they're finally sort of admitting it. So I felt like today they were trying to sell us something that we all knew was true anyway. We knew that this was a complete and total rebuild, and today is sort of when they finally admitted it. Am I wrong in that?
No, you're not, and I think that's, again, that's a disconnect between the way they conveyed their message of this team and what we saw on the field and what we heard. So you're right. I think that was important for them to get – for them to say that now. But, yeah, if they'd said some of that stuff earlier, maybe there wouldn't be as much consternation with a 3-13 record and why is the head coach still in place. Now, there were some coaching changes. So the running backs coach – Stan Drayton, who did a fantastic job with Jordan Howard and these running backs for the past 2 years, he got a new job. He is going to be Texas's running backs coach and I believe run game coordinator and assistant head coach with Tom Herman. It's a great job for Stan Drayton. I always enjoyed talking to him, and John Fox said he wants to be a college head coach one day. So it's a good move. So the Bears will be looking for a new running backs coach. They'll also be looking for a new offensive line coach. And these firings were very interesting to me, John. And Brad Biggs, Chicago Tribune, reported the Bears have yet to confirm it as of this recording. But I'm going to go with Biggsy on this one. Dave Magazoo, who has been John Fox's offensive line coach dating back to Carolina, was fired. And then Sam Garns, who was the assistant DB's coach, worked a lot with the safeties. He had been with Fox since 2011. John Fox actually coached Sam Garns in New York. They, from my perspective, seem to be very close. He was fired as well. Again, this is according to Brad Biggs, Chicago Tribune. Now, the offensive line, you would think, you look at Cody Whitehair, Kyle Long, Josh Sitton. I think Charles Long had an okay season. Bobby Massey got better as the season went along. I thought that was interesting. Sam Garns, I mean, the safety position was a disaster. And if you want to put that on somebody, maybe that's what they're doing with the scapegoat there. But it was interesting to see John Fox part ways with two of his top lieutenants in terms of guys he knows very well. And he did say both of his coordinators are intact. Vic Fangio, Dow Logan is still here. So I wonder how much of this was John Fox, how much of that conversation is had with Ryan Pace, if George or Ted get involved at all. Again, we couldn't really get those answers because Fox would not confirm the firings with us. But I thought those were interesting moves.
So I thought the language on the coordinators was the most interesting, the semantics of they are intact. Well, yes, they are technically intact. They are breathing and still employed. So yes, they are technically intact. But, you know, that doesn't mean that there are changes, that these guys are locked in for next year. You know, if Mike McCoy calls up John Fox and says, hey, you know, I'd love to work with you. I think the Bears would almost have to make that hire. And Vic Fangio, there's no guarantee that he is sticking around next year. So I really thought the language was interesting from Ryan Pace on the coordinators.
Yeah, I agree. It was I think it was Fox who made the intact reference. Yeah, I agree. And I kind of wanted to ask John to double check. It's a fluid process there, but I knew his answer would say yes. You're right. Anything can happen. I think when the Bears head down to the Senior Bowl in a couple weeks, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, that whatever staff they bring down with them, that is their coaching staff. That's really key. That's kind of the goal for most teams, to have their staff set by the time they head down to Mobile, Alabama. So, yeah, anything can happen with the coordinators. I will say, if they were going to fire one of the coordinators without having a replacement right away, they would have done it already. They wouldn't have let it dangle with Dow or Vic. Now, here's the thing about Mike McCoy, and maybe this is a cynic in me. If you're John Fox and you're thinking you're coaching for your job next year, do you want Mike McCoy on your staff, who would be an easy option as someone to replace you? Again, this is thinking cynically, but I think that, you know, sometimes coaches might think about that when they look at their jobs. The other kind of main topic of conversation on Wednesday was, of course, the quarterback. And Ryan Pace said that he talked to Jay Cutler Monday He said, if anything happens, Jay Cutler and his agent, Bus Cook, are going to be the first to know. He didn't tip his hand on what they're going to do with Jay Cutler. You know, I think they did mention that Jay Cutler is recovered quickly for anybody who wants to trade for him. Keep an eye out. Jay looks great. His shoulder's great. He's throwing the ball fine. You know, they're not going to tell us if they're going to trade for a quarterback, if they're going to draft a quarterback, what have you. But I want to play you some back-to-back clips here, and you actually hear yours truly ask a question. And I think gives you a little bit of an idea of where the Bears might go at this quarterback position.
My challenge that comes up, because you guys are kind of in this pigeonhole spot a little bit with the quarterback position, having to add to it at this point because you didn't draft one the last couple of years and because of the situation of the veterans, is there a challenge or are there also benefits to being in that spot?
I think there's benefits. I think, you know, when you're, you know, again, there's so many different things that can take place with it. There's a bunch of different scenarios. But I think if you are talking about adding the quarterback, you want to make sure your roster is equipped to handle that quarterback. You know, and so when you come into a situation where there are a lot of holes and there are a lot of heavy lifting that needs to take place and you're trying to fill needs all over the roster, hey, when the position comes and it's right for us to strike a quarterback, the environment's more conducive for that quarterback to have success.
Ryan Warrior, Patrick, and then Jim.
Thanks, Brian. you said you guys aren't going to be in this position again. With a mandate to win and win a lot more than you did this year, how do you balance that with the fact that you're answer quarterback might be somebody that has to develop.
Mm-hmm. That's it's all part of it. So it's you know, there's things you can do. You got to be careful about sometimes. It's a case by case basis, right? So if you get a young quarterback, is he ready to play right now? Maybe he isn't. Maybe you need a bridge quarterback to help out that transition. But hey, look, we're going to be able to run the ball effectively. We need to play better defense. There's a lot of complementary things we can do to help that position.
So that, as you heard again, Ryan Pace answering questions from me and Pat Finley, friend of the program, about the quarterback position. Also credit Pat and myself for out-talking an ABC reporter who tried to jump in there. Yeah, another question that was right around that section too was about the importance of finding something that protects the football, which is kind of an obvious answer. But I think, you know, the way that Ryan Pace talks about turnovers, the way he talks about consistency, you know, I asked him about the Tampa Bay game because to me that game is important because that's when they were healthy and they got crushed and Jay had a bad game. And listening to Ryan Pace talk about the inconsistency in that game tells you kind of what they feel about Jay Cutler in terms of, you know, if this was 2 years ago, they'd say, okay, we need Jay to improve on that side of on that aspect of his game. But now, after a couple years, you can see why they might want to move on to the position. The other thing. We had Matt Bone on last week, and Matt explained why things have worked so well for Dak Prescott in Dallas. And he talked about what you need to be around a rookie quarterback. And I think that was Ryan Pace's answer to me, essentially, was, you know, maybe why they didn't draft one the years before. You got to have a good situation. You need a good offensive line. You need a running game. You need to feel good about your defense. You need to make sure you have the right coordinator and coaches in place to bring in a rookie quarterback you think is going to be the future of your franchise. So interesting stuff there from Ryan Pace. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the quarterback from this day until we get until the draft's over or even later.
Until the Bears have one.
Until the Bears have a starting quarterback for September. But that was Ryan Pace's thoughts. Before we get to a couple more things from Ryan Pace, I want to talk to you a little bit about Fan Essentials. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? If you go to fanessentials.net and pick out your favorite sports team, they're going to ship your team's gear right to your door. $34.99 is where prices start, but if you go and use our promo code Chicago at checkout, you're going to get 30% off your first month. So, yeah, I don't know if you're going to be getting some Bears gear here, but if you're a Packers fan, you're getting excited for the playoff game against the Giants on Sunday, you're a Seahawks fan, if you got a buy and you know someone who's a Patriots fan, go use our promo code Chicago at fanessentials.net. Get 30% off your first month of gear from Fan Essentials. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. So getting back to what we learned today from Ryan Pace, another interesting thing from Ryan Pace, who might have been maybe the most truthful, I shouldn't say truthful, because I think he was being honest the whole time, but I think the most glaring quote from him was when asked about the low number of takeaways. Remember, this is a team that finished the year with 11 takeaways. That is the lowest ever in a 16-game season in the NFL. Last year, the Bears had a franchise low of 17. They crushed that record this year. It was insane. And Ryan Pace said, we need more players in the playmakers secondary. That is on me. So they are going to draft a cornerback and or a safety high. That is what the way I read that. Or they're going to throw a lot of money at somebody. I think it'd be more about finding somebody in the draft. That's the way this team wants to build as opposed to free agency. And I thought he was interesting. He said, you know, he was asked, why didn't you do this last year when you had 17 takeaways? He said, well, they had higher hopes for Bryce Callahan and Kyle Fuller, and those two guys obviously were hurt most of the year, and that kind of thrust some other guys in the spotlight. So I thought that was some good honesty from Ryan Pace, putting that on him, needs help in the secondary. Where are you going to find that help? Well, you might be able to find it in Mobile, Alabama. At the end of this month, the Bears are coaching the Senior Bowl. And it's a really important opportunity for the Bears. They get a nice advantage by doing it. I want you to hear what Ryan Pace and John Fox had to say about them getting to coach this top senior prospects later this month in Mobile.
I guess that the Senior Bowl became reality yesterday. From your perch from a scouting standpoint, what do you sense will be the greatest value of that weekend and some doors open to evaluate prospects a little closer?
So we are never going to be in this position again. But we better take advantage of it while we're here. So we're picking high in the draft. We better take advantage of that. We're coaching the Senior Bowl. I mean, there's a huge opportunity there. Our training staff, our equipment guys, our coaches, our scouts, our video guys, you were down there the whole time. So, and I went over the list of guys with John the other night of all the players that were at the Senior Bowl. And there's impact play, as you guys know. And so now you're not just on the field with them. Or we're not just having some 15-minute formal interview where they're coached up. We got them with our trainers, we got them with our equipment guys, we got them in environments where I can really tell what kind of people they are. And I think sometimes, you guys know, it's not just identifying who you like, it's identifying who you need to eliminate. And I think that week's going to give us a real great opportunity to do that. I'm excited about it.
It's a very genuine enthusiasm you have for this opportunity.
I'm fired up about it. I know
Coach. I talked to Jason Garrett. They coached it last year, and they had a quarterback that I think they hit on late that did pretty good.
Obviously, John Fox talking about Dak Prescott, who was one of the quarterbacks in the Senior Bowl. The Cowboys coached the Senior Bowl.
Kevin, was that a shot at Ryan Pace?
From Fox? No.
Or is that just Fox trying to be funny?
I think he was just trying to be funny.
Okay.
Probably. As I said, he's never coached a Senior Bowl in 28 years of coaching. He reminded us that on Sunday. I don't know how excited he is about the... I can tell you he's not going to be excited about the media responsibilities down there. All the Bears beat writers were quickly booking their flights to Mobile. Every year teams that coach the Senior Bowl can usually draft 1, 2, 3 guys on their team. And you get a really close and intimate look about how these guys are in practice, in the game situation, in strength and conditioning situations. Your coaches get to know them. It's a really good opportunity for them. And for a team picking third in each round of the draft, like the Bears, with so many needs, if you go to my Twitter, @KFishBay, I did tweet out some of the quarterbacks, cornerbacks, and safeties who are going to be there. Keep an eye on the safety position. Greg Gabriel says it's a very deep draft at safety, and maybe the Bears will find one in Alabama. I will be there for the week that is coming up in 3 weeks from Monday. So keep tabs on stuff there. The Bears will be there. So I want to start to wrap things up with a couple more things from the press conference. I saw a lot of Twitter love for our man, Hub Arkish. And it's true. Hub did a really nice job kind of, you know, not letting Fox try to get out of the whole run-pass ratio stuff. And it was great. It was funny. It was important. It was good for Hub to stay on him. We've been asking him about it all year. My big thing, if you see my Twitter, they always say, well, we're losing. It's why we don't run the ball. Well, actually, when the Bears were winning this year, they didn't run the ball nearly as much as when they were winning last year. So I think the Bears would have been better off just saying, yeah, we like to throw the ball a little bit more than we used to. Deal with it. But they don't. So anyways, I do want to say something to anybody who's listening who listened to the press conference and didn't like that the rest of us weren't getting on John Fox. And this isn't against Hub, of course, because I love the way the Hub went after him. I just want to explain something to everybody. We have had 5 John Fox press conferences a week since late July. Okay, so keep that in mind. This might be the only one that you guys all heard on the radio or watched on TV. We have had one 5 days a week. We've asked him a lot of questions. So those questions that Hub asked need to be answered, and it's great that Hub asked that. But for those of you like, why aren't you asking Fox about this? Why aren't you asking Fox about this? I had nothing for the head coach. I'd heard plenty from him this season. I wanted to talk to the general manager, Ryan Pace. So a little bit inside journalism there, just so everybody understands why, you know, 80, 90% of the questions were directed at the general manager. I think the important ones, which were the, you know, how the offensive game plan works, which Hub was asking about, and then I believe it was Adam Hogue asked about the coaching staff, did get asked to John Fox. So,
Kevin, I have a question out of that. I have a question at you about this. Did you come away from today's press conference with the feeling that Ryan Pace is in charge of football operations for the Chicago Bears?
Yes, I did. I think that he is very invested, not to say John Fox isn't, but I think Ryan Pace is very invested in his job and what he needs to get done. I do think that John Fox might have a strong say in things moving forward, and I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. That's what a lot of teams have, the head coaches do. Look, no NFL team has a situation where the GM makes all the decisions without discussing it with the head coach first.
Of course.
So, you know, I think everyone needs to understand that. But I also don't think John Fox is up there necessarily being the reason that they're making some of the personnel decisions. I think that I think there is a coordination. I do think John Fox might have a stronger voice than if Ryan Pace had a first-year head coach. If Ryan Pace had hired a Todd Bowles, for example, maybe it would be a little bit even. But Ryan Pace has always said that he likes the fact that he has someone in John Fox who's been around the game long enough and he can lean on him for certain opinions. Was that an okay non-answer to your question?
that's a fair point. I think that's something that probably our listeners were probably wondering, either entering that press conference or coming away from the press conference.
And that was another good question Hub asked. Hub asked him about the structure and if Pace is in charge of football operations and John Fox in charge of coaching staff. They did confirm, not that they would do anything else to a question like that, but it was important. Speaking of the football operations, we did get a chance to talk to Chairman George McCaskey. And I'm going to be careful with my words here, John. George, obviously, this is his life. The Chicago Bears. It's his family's team. He cares about this team immensely. George McCaskey is not necessarily known for being the most savvy with the media, which is why we don't really hear from him. I was frankly surprised we talked to him today. He was asked about why didn't you come out and say that consultant story was BS? And he gave a frankly BS answer. And I kind of, Mark Potash, friend of the program, questioned him on it. And I did not really agree with his reasoning. It was a slippery slope argument.
Yeah, so for those who didn't hear, George McCaskey's answer is basically, if you are addressing one false report, where does that stop? Do you have to address all false reports then? And I've heard that answer, you know, from other PR folks in the past, whether it's in sports or not, that, you know, if you just spend all your time chasing down rumors and knocking these down, you don't have time to do anything else. So, you know, I, Kevin, I get your answer to that. I also sort of understand where George is coming from on that.
Right, I understand. My question to George was, how many rumors were there about your team this year? This was the only one.
That's fair.
You know, that was really, this was the only one that involved you. The Fangio rumor didn't really, that was more of a John Fox rumor. We addressed it with John Fox, we addressed it with Vic Fangio. The rumor of the Bears hiring a consultant, that was all George. And that was the only thing I can think of all year that required the chairman of the team to say something. And I thought that was... And then the other thing, which is going to get a lot of play in the media, is the way George responded to questions about the fan apathy. And his response essentially was, you talk to the fans I talk to, the ones in the South lot, the ones that are tailgating, the ones doing this, blah, blah, blah. You know, those people are passionate, those people... Well, yeah, if you're at a Bears game in December when the team is 3-12, I would assume that you're pretty positive about your team because you're there. So I think there's a little bit of a bias in the sample that the chairman is talking to. I've said this before. I think that the Bears organization from the top down can sometimes be a little out of touch
Yes.
with who they are now. This is not a relevant team in the NFL as it stands.
It's barely a relevant team in the city.
Correct. I mean, this team has not made the playoffs since 2010. You look at the attendance. You look at the players. We've talked about the uniforms on this show, about the uniforms you see in the stands. It's not 1985. It's not 1963. It's not the 1940s. It's 2017, and this team has not made the playoffs since 2010. And you can't continue to think that just because you're the Chicago Bears that you carry all the weight in the world. And I think every once in a while – now, again, on the other hand, what are they supposed to do? They're trying their best to win. I get that. But I think sometimes – you know, maybe more can be done if they thought that they are, if they realize essentially they're on right now the same path as the Browns, the Bills, the Jaguars. It's sad, but that's where they're at right now. And, you know, I don't necessarily know if the organization believes that or agrees with that. And if they did, you know, I don't know how that would, that, you know, because again, I don't necessarily think teams that fire coaches every 2 years, look what's going on in Buffalo right now. That's not good. So I understand I'm not saying that they should have made more changes, but I think sometimes they lose sight of where they are in the grand scheme of the NFL because, look, they might be the charter franchise. You know, and again, this is not meant to be disrespectful to George McCaskey or Virginia McCaskey and the McCaskey family and what they've done for this franchise. It's meant to just be a little bit of a, you know, news alert. The Chicago Bears are not, you know, who they once were. It's been a long time since they were that team, and I think Ryan Pace is the right person to get them on track, but unfortunately, because of what happened this year, he and John Foxley, I believe, have one more year to do it, and that was another takeaway of mine from this press conference. I thought, again, it was smart. Go back to the opening statement. They brought up the injuries as an excuse, but also made it very clear that a lot of what happened this year was unacceptable. Look, John, they're going to have the third pick. They're going to have the 35th pick, who I think is going to be a very good player. They have a lot of salary cap money. There's probably going to be a new quarterback under center for week one. I think there is some reason to be excited is the wrong word, but very intrigued about who is making up this roster next year because the guys who are coming back, you know, are some, you have some good players coming back. Jordan Howard, Cody Whitehair, Kyle Long, Zach Miller, Dan Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman. You know, I think these Leonard Floyd, Pernell McPhee, I think those guys are good football players. They need more of them, and they have plenty of opportunities to get them.
As a fan, I'm excited about the draft and you going to Mobile and the combine and all of it because I think with a number three pick, there's a real chance for an excitement. There's a real chance to get game changing players on your roster, which the Bears are in desperate need of.
And Arthur Arkish, of course, our friend and colleague, he brought this up a couple times that last year on this day, Ryan Pace sat there saying we need defensive playmakers, and here we are a year later, and that's still what they need, and they need a quarterback. So they have all the opportunities to get them, and I thought it was really important what he said. You know, we're not going to be here in this position again, but we're going to take full advantage of the fact that we are in this position. So that was what we got from Ryan Pace and John Fox and George McCaskey today. Again, there are stories up on our website from myself and Hub Arkish, profootballweekly.com/Bears. You can also see them on our Twitter page, Bears_Insider, and my Twitter page, at KFishbane. You can see a little bit more about what Pace and Fox said. Starting next week, with the offseason, we might not be necessarily going every week. But starting in January, now that we're in 2017, it's time to focus on the draft. We'll start previewing the Senior Bowl in the next couple weeks, get you ready for the prospects that are going to be down there, what to look for with the fact that the Bears are coaching down there. And then in February, we get into, will Alshon Jeffrey get franchise tagged again? We got the combine at the end of February, free agency middle March. It never ends. Hopefully, you'll stick right here to the Pro Football Weekly Chicago Football Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes at PFW Chicago. Give us a 5-star review. Hope you enjoyed the show and the clips for Ryan Pace. Thank you to my producer and the birthday boy, John Sally. We'll have more Bears talk for you coming up.